And I invite you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. I know some of you have been disappointed that I have been away from 2 Peter chapter 2 for so long. We're getting back there. We're just waiting. We can't wait to talk about God's judgment upon sinners and upon false teachers. And we will get to that. And that will be an inspiration and a blessing, right? Well, it's the Word of God, and we will come back to it. But we have been distracted recently with various special guest speakers and events. And today we're going to look at Jeremiah 31, a familiar passage. But let's begin at verse 1. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 3. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God loves you as well as Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in the Word this morning. I pray, Lord, it would be a profitable time, as it always is, when we open the Word of God and let you speak to us through your Word. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, have his way in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would just go away today with a greater desire to serve you, to be faithful to you, to love you, Lord. I pray that we would experience your forgiveness where we need it. May we be quick to come to you when we've sinned against you and confess our sin and know that you forgive and you cleanse us and you remove that sin if we will just humbly bow before you, Lord, and admit that we cannot go on without you, Lord. We cannot go on trying to serve you in the flesh, but we need your help. So help us this morning, Lord. Help me as I preach. May you give me the strength that I need. And I pray you'll just bless your word to our hearts. We want to give you glory. Only you are worthy. Lord, we're so prone to take glory to ourselves, to take credit to ourselves when good things happen. And we know that all credit, all glory, all honor goes to you, Lord. We are to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Lord, your name is holy. It is an honorable name. It is an awesome name. And may we indeed honor your name, Lord, by the life we live, by the things we say, by our thinking and our actions, Lord. May they reflect the love and the faithfulness and the holiness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord hath appeared of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do? What gets you going? And what keeps you going? What motivates you? Or what charges your battery, if you will? What causes you to be thankful, to be grateful? What causes you to want to love others and to love God? What motivates you? Well, coffee gets me alert in the morning, but it doesn't motivate me. No motivation from coffee. Just kind of wakes me up, right? But what motivates you? Does money motivate you? I like money. I like having money. I like having a lot of money. But it doesn't really motivate me, does it? If money motivates us, is the reason we serve, is the reason we get going, then you know what? The lack of money is going to depress you. It's going to discourage you. And remember, they are uncertain riches. They are not guaranteed. Does success motivate you? The Lord said to his disciples, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, in Luke 10:20. Don't rejoice that you're successful, he said to the disciples, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If success motivates and inspires you, and it does temporarily, right, then lack of success is going to discourage you. Does recognition motivate you? We all kind of like to be recognized for the things we do or the good things we do. The bad things we do, we don't want anybody knowing about it, right? But does recognition motivate you? Again, it's nice to be acknowledged, and you and I ought to be quick to give honor to whom honor is due. But when it doesn't come, when we don't get recognized, we get hurt, we get discouraged, and that shouldn't be. Our motives aren't right. Now, our wives all know all too well about lack of recognition and lack of appreciation, and we need to give them more. We need to give all of our ladies more recognition, appreciation for what they do. What about an organized life? Does a disciplined, organized life motivate you? In other words, you're on top of the world when your ducks are all in a row, right? But knock those ducks over, and you're a mess, right? If things are out of order, you might be in for one of those days. So does a disciplined, organized life motivate you? Well, it helps. But why should we do what we do with joy, even in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation? Why bother? What difference does my life make in this ungodly world anyway? Well, I'm here to tell you that the primary motivation, the main thing in why we do what we do as believers, whether it is preaching God's word or cleaning toilets or wiping our babies' noses, is this: God loves me. God loves you. God loves me. That's what ought to motivate me. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Wow. Me? Me? I don't deserve that. But he loves me. When I was dating my wife 50 years ago, in fact, did we celebrate that? I think just this last month, we forgot to celebrate our 50-year anniversary of beginning to date each other. 1969 in the spring. Well, anyway, when I was dating my wife, I knew that she wanted to spend time with me, and I knew that she thought I was good-looking. I mean, everybody did. But the only thing that I really cared about was that she loved me, that she loved me. And I've told you this before. But that was a question I asked her all the time, and I wanted to hear her say again and again that she loved me. And I would say, "Do you love me?" She said, "Yeah, I love you." "Do you really love me?" "Yeah." "Do you really, really love me? Are you lying to me? Do you really love me?" "Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes." "Why?" I would say. And she would say, "Because you're the one for me." Well, I don't know if she ever said that or not, but I imagine that she said that. I pretended. And we need to hear the Lord say that. "You are mine. You are the one for me." You know God thinks that of you? He thinks that you're the one for him. That's why he is preparing a place for you in heaven now. That's why he went to the cross, because he loved you so much. He loved you with an everlasting love. Our Lord says, "I love you, you're mine, you are precious. I've loved you with an everlasting love," and that is special. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? There's a wonder of sunset of evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonder that thrills my soul is a wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. That is special. There's nothing more special, more marvelous, more amazing than that. Now, there are things that amaze me. It's amazing to me that I haven't died yet. That is amazing. It's amazing that I haven't gained any weight in the last 5 years. Now, that is amazing. It's amazing that my wife loves me. It's amazing that my church loves me. But more amazing, more astounding is a wonder of wonders that thrills my soul, the wonder that God loves me, that God still loves me, in spite of how well he knows me. You see, if you knew everything there was to know about me, I don't know that love would continue or not. But God does. And he still loves me, and he loves you in spite of all your sin and your coldness and your indifference. He still loves you. You thought your mama loved you like nobody loves you, but mama's love is nothing like God's love for your soul. It doesn't begin to compare. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You ever play the what if game? Sure you have. I play it all the time. What if? I go, what if this happens? What if that happens, right? We play the what if games. What if this or that happens? What if I lost my job? What if I lost my health? What if I hear the doctor say, you have cancer and it's incurable? What if I lose my retirement nest egg? What if I lose my family? What if I lose my cell phone? My freedom? What if I lose my leg, my eyesight? What if I were to be brutally tortured? What would I do? But these things are not the worst things that can happen. But think of this. What if God stopped loving me? It's over. It's over. To think of not being loved by God, that is the worst what if that can be. You and I can and may one day have to endure torture. We very well could lose our health or our cell phone, worst of all. And we could and maybe have lost our job. But these things we can endure, knowing all the while we are loved supremely by our Father. I can face anything knowing that. We will never not be loved by God. Mark it down. Write it down. We will never, ever not be loved by God. How terrible for so many who don't know what it is to be loved. Think of the countless thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of children, refugees all over the world who have no one, absolutely no one to love them. Children who've been abandoned, even in the United States of America. My wife Roberta grew up in a home, she lost her father to a heart attack when she was only around 4 years old. But she grew up with a memory of a dad who she knew loved her. Her family told her what he was like. And she grew up knowing he was a great man. He was a loving father, even though she barely remembers him at that age. What if God stopped loving me? Why would I wake up in the morning? Why should I go to work? Why should I serve anymore? Why should I ever smile again? Why would I want to live if God stopped loving me? I wouldn't. It wouldn't be worth it. Forget it. But he never, never, never stops loving me. Even in times of discouragement, disappointment, unfaithfulness, even when my love to him grows cold and lifeless, you know what? That does not affect his love one bit. It does not change his love. His love for you today is the same as it was when you were born, yea, before you were born. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself, 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we don't believe, even if we are unfaithful, he abides faithful in his love to us. Even if I don't love him, he still loves me. It's unconditional love. He says to me again, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, he loved the nation of Judah in spite of her apostasy. Jeremiah, when he wrote this, proclaimed God's judgment. He proclaimed to the nation of Judah for 40 years that God would judge them. And he endured opposition, beatings, imprisonment. But in the midst of it all, of all the judgment, God gave them hope restoration, deliverance from the 70 years captivity. You see, his love endures when I'm defeated. His love for Judah endured. Number one, that's point number one. His love endures when I'm defeated. His love for you endures even though you feel like giving up. It's over. There's no hope for me. What do you mean there's no hope? Is there a God or not? Is he living or not? Is he loving or not? Yes, yes, yes. And he's not given up on you. Maybe you've given up on you, but God hasn't. That's all that matters. His love endures when I'm defeated. Song of Solomon 8:7 says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love for my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Wow. I'm defeated, great bitterness, but God in his love for my soul hath delivered me from the pit of corruption. Wow. Why would God bother with me? You know, sometimes I get discouraged. I know that's news to you. But I get discouraged, I get defeated. It's like a cloud just settles in. You have those times, right? Down times, blue times, pity party times. And you're not even sure why. You're not even sure what triggers it. And in a time like that, I say, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. God never really called me to preach. I made a big mistake. I should have known better. That's my problem, being a pastor. If I'd never been a pastor, I wouldn't be discouraged, right? Wrong, wrong. That's not the problem. The problem is in my heart. I need a doctor to prescribe some medicine for me. And what I do is I go to my doctor, ask him for a prescription, and he gives me what I need every time. I go home and I take my medicine. Thy words were found and I didn't eat them, Jeremiah said. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah says, I took my prescription. Thy words were found. Is that Jeremiah 15, 16? I take my medicine because the prescription is from my great physician. And the prescription is, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Go to the pharmacy and pick that up. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I can swallow that pill. That's good medicine for the discouraged, the defeated. And I don't care how hard it gets for you, it doesn't change God's love. I don't care how badly you have messed up, and you have messed up at one time or another badly. That does not change God's love. Okay? Now, sometimes, if you're like me, you feel just plain worthless. But that doesn't matter to God. He's going to love me anyway. Feel what you feel. It doesn't change God's feelings. Well, we need to focus on the truth, not our feelings, upon how we think, not how we feel. Now, I can be pretty hard to live with sometimes. Well, maybe all the time. And I get down, discouraged, my mouth can start to run, I say things I shouldn't, and I put my head down and I sulk. And then my wife comes along, sits down beside me and says, need some help? What's wrong? Anything I can do? You know I love you. You know I love you very much. And that, my friend, encourages one highly discouraged preacher. It's like God is picking me up, dusting me off, and set me going again. She loves me. He loves me. That's all that matters. She cares about me. He cares about me. Right? That's what matters. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. No matter what we go through, bills are due, where's the money? Credit card past due payments, overdrafts. I'm on a cash basis only. I only want more cash is my cash basis, right? Anyway, things like that and so many others discourage us, don't they? They depress us. But then I find encouragement to think and know that God's love endures when I'm discouraged. It endures. It's constant. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Love with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Tell me who and what? You got anything you can think of? No, can't think of anything. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You may lose your job, but you won't lose the love of God. God will still keep on loving you. You may lose your mind. You may lose your family. Your spouse may die. But God's love will never cease in spite of all that. I need to remember that God's love endures when I'm discouraged. Secondly, I need to know that God's love inflames when I'm indifferent. God's love inflames. E-N-F-L-A-M-E-S. God's love inflames when I'm indifferent. Luke 24:32, when the risen Savior walked along with the two disciples, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? We looked at that passage in detail on Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Did not our hearts burn within us? They had holy heartburn because the Savior was walking with them, even though they knew it not. They didn't know that it was the Savior till later, and yet their heart was, they had holy heartburn, right? Lord, help me live from day to day in such a full surrendered way that by thy power there may start a flame of fire within my heart. To the lukewarm, not hot, not cold Christians in Laodicea, Jesus, the ascended Lord, said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Why? Because God loves even those who are cold and indifferent. He wants them to be hot for him. What more can we ask for? What will it take to set our cold, dead hearts afire with the love of God? Is there anything better than consider his sacrificial love for us? The Bible reiterates that so many places about what he did to show his love for us sin-sick people. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. Hereby know we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. In 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest in the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here it is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we ought to. We ought to love every single person within this body. Everyone, always, no matter what, no matter what they say to us, no matter if they say something maybe they shouldn't have said, we still love them, right? Because I do the same thing. I knew the same thing. We ought to love one another because God loved us, and he loved us so much he sent his son to die for our sins, to die for us. Why do I do what I do? If I'm getting cold and calloused and indifferent, it may be that I'm not doing it for the love of God. I'm doing it to see what I can get out of it. Wasn't that part of Jonah's problem? Jonah had grown cold and indifferent, right? There was no longer a fire in his heart for the Lord. And I believe his love for the Lord had grown cold. And it was so bad that he fell asleep in a sinking ship. And the ship was sinking because of Jonah. It was so bad that he had more pity on the gourd than for the repentant sinners of Nineveh. And yet God wouldn't leave him alone. God would not leave his own child to go his own selfish and callous way. And he won't leave you alone either. He'll bring you back. And he's trying to bring you back to him right now, isn't he? That's why you feel guilty about things. Thank God for guilt. Thank God for guilt. It's that red light that goes off in our dash telling us something's wrong. But God wouldn't let Jonah go his own selfish, callous way. And we can get this way in our attitude towards this wicked and worldly society. We think, let them go to the devil. That's where they want to go. Don't bother me about it. They're never going to change. They're never going to be any different. I'll just become a five-point Calvinist, then I don't need to bother myself with who or with who will and who won't be saved. God has decreed it ahead of time from eternity past, so I don't need to worry about it. No. God says in Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans 13:11, and that knowing that now it is high time to awake, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's time for you and me to wake up and rise from the dead. 1 John 4:19, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We love him because he loved. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ controls me, shows me what I should do. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He died for you. He died for you. We don't dwell on that enough. We don't meditate upon that. We ought to spend a day thinking about Christ died for me. Christ was crucified. He was brutally tortured for me. God died in the person of Jesus Christ. Number one is love endures when I'm defeated. Number two is love inflames when I'm indifferent. And finally, number three, his love excels when I doubt. His love excels when I doubt. It excels. It's better than all. It's better than anything. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's excellent. It's excellent. It excels. His love excels. It abounds. Even when I doubt his care and goodness and faithfulness, even when I'm unfaithful and unbelieving, his love is still there, and it excels when I doubt. The night Jesus was betrayed, when he would partake of the Passover for the last time with his disciples, we read in John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. In other words, he knew exactly what was coming, the cross. He knew of the agony. That's why he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. But having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. That means he loved them to the fullest extent, to the uttermost. By the way, he loves you to the uttermost, to the fullest extent. You cannot be loved more than what God loves you. And this included Judas, who would betray him, and Peter, who would deny him three times, and Philip, who would soon show his ignorance of who he was when he said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, in John 14:8. And Thomas, who would say, I know not whither thou goest, and how can I know the way, John 14:5. And the hour was soon coming, as Christ foretold, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. John 16:32. And so it was recorded by Matthew, then all the disciples forsook him and fled, all of them. And yet he loved them to the fullest extent. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled, pardoned from his sin. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints. An angel's song. Is the love of God your song today? Are you praising him? Are you seeking to glorify him? You know, we need to learn to turn our trial into praise. Turn our trial into praise, into glory, glorifying him. Ephesians 2, verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together and made us sent together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Wow. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, John says, behold, and he was a disciple whom Jesus loved, as he refers to himself many times in his Gospel of John. And so he says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that he would call you the Son of God, that you would be in his family. Jesus Christ is God's child, his son, and we're part of the family too. We're heirs with Christ, aren't we? His love endures when I'm discouraged. His love inflames when I'm indifferent. And his love excels even when I doubt. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I'd rather live without God than live for a God who didn't love me. What good is that? To live, and yet millions upon billions in the world are living for a God who doesn't love them, who demands obedience and gives nothing in return. Why do we do what we do? What motivates us? Why do you pray? Is it because God loves you? I pray because he loves me so much. Do you pray to him who in love for your soul shed his precious blood? Why do you witness? Why do you share your faith? Why do you let others know that you believe in Jesus Christ? Because he loves you so much. And you want to tell others, right? That's where it should be. That's what we should be doing. Why do you give? Why do we give, whether it be in the offering, whether it be to others, whether it be our time, our service? Why do I give? And that's what I'm to be, giving, 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 giving. And the more I give, the more God gives to me, the more strength I find. Why do I give? Because God gave his all for me. He gave heaven's best for me. What can I give back in return? The best that I can. I give because God loves me. Deuteronomy 10:15. The Lord had a delight in the fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people as it is this day. That applied to Israel, that applies to you. He loves you even above all people. In Romans 8:32 and following, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up on the cross for you, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. That means live in love every step, every moment, every day. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Are we walking in love? Is our life characterized by love for God and love for others? The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we can do that. We love him because he first loved us. He took the initiative. As unlovely as we are, he loved. Let's love him as we ought. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your love. We're so unworthy of that love. We can't begin to comprehend the length and depth and width and height of the love of God which is shown to us. We know you love us as you loved your disciples to the uttermost, to the fullest extent. And we praise you, Lord, for that. May we in turn love others. May we share the love with others. And may our lives just be characterized by love for you and love for every single person we come in contact with. There are many unlovely people in the world, but we were unlovely too, and yet you loved us in our sin. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet sometimes, Lord, we act as though there are some people not good enough for us. They don't qualify for the love of Christ. And there go I, but for the grace of God. Help us, Lord. May we just be marked by love. The world noticed how the disciples loved him. Oh, how they love him. They go after him, and they turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ because they went upon the love of Christ based upon his giving of his life for them. May we give our all to you, Lord, and to others. Help us, Lord. We're a needy people. We're a selfish, greedy people, and we tend to take glory for ourselves when all glory goes to you. Help us, Lord. We need you. Bless now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one.